What's up, everybody? This is CTP here with
Mike McGoldrick
and
Alex Macklin.
And you're listening to Talking Depth, which is the after show for our show Full Depth, which just aired on barbellshrug.com and YouTube. We're doing something a little different tonight. This is the first time we've got to talk to you since the passing of our friend Chris Moore. So we're going to start off the show with a little audio snippet from Chris, and then we'll pick back up. We'll talk about Chris a little bit, and then we'll talk about the episode, which Chris was highly involved in. And yeah, so go watch that if you haven't seen it first, and hope you enjoy.
Enjoy.
One thing you can always do to ensure justice and to ensure you're doing good, capital G good, is to always try to come back to something you love daily and to try to make it better, just a little bit better, a little bit more helpful, a little bit less heavy with mistakes, a little bit better focused. And any small improvement coupled with the daily effort of just trying again is really the only remedy to the self-doubt, because you're going to feel that. You're going to want to be and do something, and something's going to whisper in your ear that maybe it's not possible. The only way you're going to remedy that is to keep doing it and to stoke and to cultivate within yourself faith, for lack of a better word, that if you keep it up, that if you will be rock solid within yourself and know that you have something worth sharing and providing and talking about and doing, if you keep stoking your little fire, that will remedy the issues of self-doubt. It will help that better than anything else. And even though you'll keep dealing with it, at least, at the very least, you'll be able to easily look back from where you are. Because, like, right in the present moment, it's hard to always believe in the vision of the dream and have all the faith. But if you also just take the time to show a little gratitude for how far you've come, to realize that, you know, in a space of a couple of years, you can have a lot of hurts and a lot of wounding things, because that's going to happen to everybody. But also in that same point, you can see all the little moments where you were able to produce and make something and persevere and move on through those moments. In 2 years, to see where you, how far you can come with that simple practice like that is really all the kind of proof you need that you're on the right track. So if you want to be a good coach, just keep coaching, man. If you want to be a good writer, find a way to write even one sentence today. Even one sentence written as good as you could will make that happen. If you want to take on a business task, and it's just anything you might want to take on, keep up the daily faith and the effort. That's how you will make that a real thing. I do believe that.
Man. What a fucking dude.
Oh. No kidding, man. Biggest thing from that is, you know, if you want to coach, keep coaching. It's his explanation of the world's natural tendency to pull you away from the things you want to do, and you have to remind yourself daily to keep going back to those things you love. Like, you have different tasks or roles or jobs or things that pull you away from the things you enjoy doing because you feel like that you have to outgrow them or move on, and it's just not true. You need to stick to your guns and stay honest, and if you enjoy doing it, keep doing it.
Yeah. I mean, it's an you go back, and that's what makes the journey and the things that you accomplish along the way, that's what makes it awesome. Like, just going at it every single day, trying to make it just a little bit better and finding those small little victories, even in the, you know, times where you don't feel like you're not really doing much. You know, it may seem like that's life. It's going to sit there and try to, like, tell you to stop doing it, but you just got to remind yourself to just keep doing what you love and pursuing what you love and going a little bit every single day and putting work into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for those of you listening,
stoking that fire.
We lost a dear friend last week, Chris Moore, and we were just reviewing a video that CTP had created for him in tribute. And
where did that come from? Where did that monologue come from?
That was from one of his podcasts, so
yeah.
If you go to Barbell Buddha on iTunes or his website, or actually, I don't know if the website's still up, but Barbell Buddha on iTunes, he has over 100 episodes. Mm-hmm. And so that was just a quote that I had found, or I felt like it found me. I was going through trying to figure out what to do, and that one just came, and I feel like it said so much of kind of, you know, having him around, like, I feel like it really – not that you could sum up a man in fucking one thing, but
sure. Yeah.
It felt as good as anything, pure and
– Yeah, I couldn't have picked anything better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's powerful.
I mean, that's what – I mean, you know, Chris, I think that's what he was about, is just, you know, doing something he loved every single day and, you know –
There's just so much honesty in that.
Yeah.
It's just crazy to see, like, now, especially now that it's been a week now. Mm-hmm. Has it been a week?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, and it sucked those first few days, and it still sucks. And I'm not even entirely sure if it's completely
sunk in.
Yeah. I guess, you know, it kind of comes in waves. But the more and more the days go by, it's like I still see him and everything that we do, and really have grown to really appreciate that he was even here, you know, in here adding anything.
And I mean,
so apparent when you just look around, it's just, he's still there.
Yeah. I mean, what a tragedy, but how grateful are we to have his voice in so many outlets that we can always find, you know, he's got books, he's got a podcast, he's got shows. Like, we have so much of him left. And even for those that, didn't currently listen to him or follow him or know him, he's still going to be continuing to reach people. And if not even more now, I mean,
it's a beautiful thing, man. Yeah. If you think about it, like,
what an impact.
Yeah, I mean, if you leave the world, that, I mean, that's his legacy and his impact, and he's been able to impact so many people. I mean, we get, God, man, like, you know, we would get emails every single day about how people would read Chris Moore's books or listen to his podcast and be like, that guy changed my fucking life, man.
Oh, yeah. Like, when we go to events and stuff, man, I mean, you know, everybody loves Mike, Doug, Chris, and you know, people say hi to me and stuff too. But I never saw any more people really saying, like, a genuine thank you. You holy fuck, you have changed my life than with Chris.
Yeah.
Like, we'd be at the games or somewhere, and like, someone would, it would be almost to the point where that person was almost in tears or like, you know, they were.
Yeah.
And
it was almost like the dose response was more powerful.
Yeah.
The impact he had on people, rather than it just being a shotgun effect to, you know, millions or whatever. The people that were connected with him, he had a really deep impact on them.
Yeah.
And he said, changed their life.
And he cared about the fans.
I'm
not going to say that none of us do, but, I mean, more than anybody else in the group, for sure.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, if anyone's going to rival him, it's going to be Kurt. I like to think that Kurt channels his little inner Chris Moore, too. You know, Kurt was part of the groups back in those days. My point was that Chris just loved connecting with the fans. He would never ignore a tweet. He would always respond to emails.
Yeah,
and it would always be genuine help.
And what I loved is I do my best to respond as soon as I can to anyone that asks a question. Like, I'm so grateful to have people that want to ask me questions. Anytime you saw someone ask Chris a question, it was a long response. He would put his heart and soul into a total stranger for any question that they asked.
Yeah.
Somebody I saw on Instagram, somebody had said that they cried or they wept for this man that they've never even met because the fact that they honestly genuinely felt that he cared more about other people than himself. And I can tell you that's the absolute truth. Like, he cared so much about people. Like, he's probably one of the most, like, selfless, generous persons. Like, I really truly believe, like, he would be totally fine, like, being, like, totally broke and poor if he could just help people and get his word out. and just help people. And that's what he wanted to do. He just wanted to help people.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Like, he just cared a lot about people.
Yeah, so he really lived by what he preached, you know.
Yeah.
He believed in it. He believed in his own word. Yeah. He followed it.
Yeah,
for sure. And it was really cool over the last week to just see all the stuff coming in, you know, read and just countless post after post, you know, going through all this, you know, all the better to be able to, like, right there in the instant, you know, see the positive light that has, you know, been brought into the world from him. And a lot of that stuff would have just never gone unsaid or would have went unsaid.
Yeah, I wrote an article last week talking about that, how I hate that it takes something tragic like this for people to express their voice or opinion about what has helped them in their life or helped change their life. So if you know someone that has helped you or had an impact on you, tell them now. And, yeah. You know, don't waste time. Let them know now. If you love someone, tell them now. It's extremely important because you may not have forever to tell them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, again, thank you to everyone listening and for those that have commented and reached out and shown support during this. You know, the Barbell Stroke family appreciates it. The Chris Morris family appreciates it. It's been really powerful. And, you know, again, we can't thank you enough. So we just finished up watching the newest Full Depth episode.
Right. And
the special thing about this episode was that it was Chris Moore's, the latest project that he worked on.
Yeah,
it's not his last piece of material that we have that we're going to be putting out, but it was the last piece that he had actually been working on as his most recently completed project. And, it's the Reno episode, the Alex Macklin show.
Yeah.
Yeah. He told me he was really proud of this episode. And he told me that, this was his gift to me, which I don't even have words for, honestly. Like how
no
that,
pressure, Alex.
Like,
what a fucking gift, though, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And what's really sad about it, and I may choke up a little bit here, but that was the last time I saw Chris, man, live.
In Reno? Reno?
Yeah, dude. Oh, fuck.
Oh, damn.
The tears are coming. Yeah, that was the last time I saw him. You know, we had went to Reno, it almost didn't happen. I think we had ran into some issues, but we managed to go and had a great time. Like,
that was a fun trip.
I remember a lot of people were coming up to us and they were talking to Chris and that he had conversations with them at the meet that later on I learned that he just, you know, I mean, that's who he was. He would just sit there and listen and talk, talk to you and listen to what you had to say. And, but yeah, so, they made that episode and that was actually, that episode was a combination of a few things. It was first, a dinner, as you saw in the show, a dinner at my parents' house, where we just talked about kind of where I got my start, how I got my start into weightlifting, and that was a great night. I think Bledsoe had told my mom like that was a magical night. It was a magical moment because we all just shared this like connection and you know with you know my parents do CrossFit and they're into lifting, and then I had you know Mike Bledsoe who was you know my first coach, and Doug is also one of my mentors and CTP. And just had all the closest people I, you know, that were involved in my journey, and my closest supporters, and it was just, I don't know, it was a crazy feeling.
Yeah, I feel like everyone that spoke.
And your mom cooked a hell of a dinner, bro.
Yeah. You forgot to mention that they own a, what's the company they own? Nourish.
Yeah.
They make paleo foods and.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing. In
my
the
mom
kitchen.
Can cook, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone at that dinner table had like a special nugget to share that night from watching the video. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. It was really something. Honestly, like, you know, my mom and I, she's always been a single parent, and you know, we've had our ups and downs in our relationship, as most you know parents and kids have them. And one of the biggest things was first of all, like, and you saw on the show, like, you know, I went to college, you know, I graduated, I studied engineering, and I got into grad school for engineering, and that was always supposed to be my destiny, I guess, in her eyes, is to go to college and get a graduate degree or some kind of degree and go work as an engineer and make lots of money and do these things. And when I chose this life of fitness, that caused a really big kind of issue with her.
I remember when we first hired you, we first hired Alex to do our coaching and for the 6-month muscle gain challenge. I thought she was fucking with me. because you know this at this point
did
we
you
were
get
still
a knock
at,
on your door.
We were still at Faction. I was still editing up there at the time. My computer was in there. I was editing videos, mm-hmm. and I remember. And she trains there, and I remember I would make jokes, and it wasn't funny to her. Like we were really stealing you, distracting you from your PhD.
I was working on PhD.
Yeah, and I remember she was like really nervous and like worried about it. And, what the hell is this kid doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, she was not very happy with the fact that I was going towards, you know, this mm-hmm. startup and it's fitness, and she's like, what the hell are you doing? Like, mm-hmm. you know, you're smarter than this, things like that. But you know, I tried to tell her and I tried to convey to her, like, this is what I love doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I love weightlifting. I love fitness. I love coaching and helping people. This is what I love doing. I'm not meant to do what I'm doing right now. I'm extremely unhappy. Mm-hmm. And, Chris was always saying, it's like, you know, you've got to, if you love something, you've got to go after it and do it. Mm-hmm. And what she shared at that dinner table, you know, she's finally come around to it, and now she sees that I'm happy and you know, it's whatever. And but what she said is, like, your passion, you know, kind of finds you, as opposed to, you know, you trying to go out and look for your
and
passion.
That was the first time she had said that. We caught mm-hmm. that all on tape, right?
Yeah, no, that was literally the first time I have heard her,
like, her blessing,
like, affirm what I'm doing, which is crazy.
That's crazy. And I remember Chris afterwards being like, this is why we do this fucking show. This is why we do this.
Yeah.
You know, for moments, mm-hmm. little moments like that.
Yeah, she talked about how grateful she was that you were someone who had found your passion early. I thought that was pretty interesting, because how many people get, you know, really deep into their lives and have either been too scared. Pursue something, you know, because they're afraid to change, or you know, they just don't know what's going to happen, or they don't know, you know, their passion hasn't found them yet. They just don't know what they're passionate about, which is often the case as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she came up to me sometime later and was like, yeah, basically, like, I never did that. And, I never went after what would make me happy. So
did she call you a damn millennial?
Yeah. No. But
but I mean, the craziest thing about all this is when you really look at the history, especially of Barbell Shrugged, you know, this has been it's your goal for what? Almost 4 years now.
Yeah.
And if you go back to episode one of Barbell Shrugged, those who aren't familiar, we filmed that episode right after we had just got back from Alex's first weightlifting meet. And that was the topic of the show. If you go back, Alex is there. He had just competed. We
got to get that footage.
Episode one of Barbell Shrugged
was Alex talking about his first weightlifting
meet. Was it audio only, or did you film it?
Filmed it.
No.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's online.
It's still up.
But the crazy thing is before that, I had traveled with Alex, Mike, and then the couple people who were with us, and I had documented the whole thing. So basically kind of like the full depth of its day. It's kind of, you know, trying to do this follow around, you know, more in-depth thing. I literally recorded everything. And it was cool because we had some of that footage you see in the full depth of that in there.
Me lifting with my mouth wide open.
Yeah.
Wait, why do lifters do that?
I don't know. I think I was just doing it at the time. Like, it was just
a
thing.
Is it a monkey see, monkey do thing?
I think I was just so amped up because it was my first meet. And I just remember, like, Mike Bledsoe, he's my coach. I mean, there, he's like, calm down, because I was just so amped up.
It's just crazy to see that whole journey though has taken, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you were on different episodes. You were on the one with Kendrick, and you were on another couple here and there. And then
one with Kendrick was after I went to University Nationals. I think that was my third or my second one, I want to say.
So you can kind of like see, kind of, if you find the right videos, the development over time. But this kind of pieces it all together, and it's kind of cool to see. So that was the whole mission here. You kind of, or the whole point of the show is that you kind of got to where you finally wanted to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I still have, and that's the thing, when I said in the show is that I kind of feel like it's just beginning. Like, now I have, you know, went to the American Open. That was a goal of mine for the longest time, but that's how goals are, man. Like, you smash one and you're ready for the next one.
It almost opens up this new door where you're like, what else can I do?
Right.
I took a chance on something, did something that I didn't know if I could complete or not, or, you know, actually get through, or, you know, or tackle that obstacle.
Yeah.
And when you do, you're like, oh, what else could I do?
Yeah.
And it gives you this confidence that you've never experienced before in your life.
Well, I think it's just, you know, one of the things too is that it's good to accomplish goals and it makes you feel good, but that doesn't mean you have to be satisfied. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like you kind of never should be satisfied and complacent. You know, I think when you get to the point of where you're completely complacent and satisfied, I mean, what is life now? I mean, that's part of life. I think it's just always just chasing the next thing that you can just crush,
stoke
the next
the
challenge. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. I agree. Man. And moving forward a little bit in the show to when you start competing, we were watching you get prepped and you were talking about, I loved how you went through frame by frame and explained what was going on in your head, like before the lift, during the lift, after the lift. I've never really seen that done before.
Oh yeah.
You know, where someone's kind of giving a play-by-play what's going on mentally. And my heart was pounding when I was watching it. I got so amped up. I'm competing in a couple of months. I can't wait. My palms were sweaty. My heart was pounding like I grabbed
Bomb
my phone.
Spaghetti.
Oh shit. Jinx, show me a soda. What are the odds?
That's
sweater
funny.
Already. Exactly. So yeah, I mean, that was just something cool that I haven't seen in many shows before is,
this felt like a real fucking show.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, I was really connected and drawn in. I was like, oh man, like I am, my head is in this right now. Like, yeah. My adrenaline's flowing. Like, I can't wait.
Yeah.
And so it's just an extra note I wanted to add there.
Oh, the experience with competing is just like what I said. It's really second to none. Like, if you do weightlifting, like I said in the show, like, you just gotta compete. It will bring like an entirely different meaning to what you're doing, and it will give you, you know, you'll compete and you will know, all right, I know what I've got to do now. And that feeling is just, it's just gonna keep you coming back for more. It's addictive.
Yeah.
And I haven't competed in much sports. Like, I don't have like an athletic career. Like, I'm not some kind of like lifetime athlete, but I've never had that kind of feeling before.
Well, give us an update on what you've been up to. So that was when we did that in November.
That was December. Yeah. So American Open. Well, yeah, the dinner, I don't know when that dinner was, but yeah, the American Open was December of 2015. So since then, let's see. So I had taken some time off, after the American Open. So I had been dealing with, I wasn't hurting at the American Open, but I was hurt, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. I had injured my back in May earlier that year, and I had spent the entire summer. We didn't even talk about this in the show, but literally this meet, like me going to the American Open, mm-hmm. almost didn't happen like five times.
Mm-hmm. I had gotten hurt.
Yeah, I had gotten hurt. I hurt my back, and then I had some other issues come up. It got better, but then it got worse. Like right before I went to the Mass Strength Spectacular on Travis's farm, I had tweaked my back again, and I don't know if I was doing this like funky little I was doing like lean back, because I was literally compressing my spine to make the pain go away. Like before I went to lift.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So, This meet was hilarious.
I thought you were
too.
Dancing, and that's so out of character for Alex.
I know.
He's out there like, yeah.
It looks like he's behind a behind a chicken and rap video.
Yeah, Alex never acts like that.
I'm not doing like the lean back or anything, but like,
okay,
no,
that
explains
a lot.
I was trying to compress my spine to keep it from hurting, so I can pull off the floor. And the whole meet, it was like outside on this farm, and we were lifting on the, like warming up on these like sketchy platforms or whatever. So I qualified there, and then I jammed my finger like after that, and then I had this health issue. I thought I was gonna have to have surgery. I ended up did not have to have surgery, and that was like right before the meet. So like everything was stacked against me. So just getting to Reno was just a huge. I was like, oh, I can't believe I'm here.
Well, you've done a couple things since then. You've done your foray into CrossFit. Did I use that word right?
Foray. Cool. So I took some time off the American Open to rehab and nurse my back to health. And, you know, I hired a coach, and he's been helping me a lot. His name is Zach Greenwald. And, so I've been getting back into lifting, getting my numbers, getting my strength back up. I'm starting to cut down to 77 kilos so I can go to the American Open again. So,
but you did the Open?
I did the Open. Yeah. I started doing a little CrossFit. It's funny. We talked about this. Metcons won't make you a better weightlifter. I wrote this article a couple of years ago. Now I'm kind of eating my words a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you got to keep in mind, you know what you're doing going into those Metcons.
That's true. That's true. If you want to get really good at weightlifting, you do need to practice focus. But doing conditioning, I have found lately that it has helped my weightlifting.
Yeah. So for those who didn't read, the point of the article is that, you know, you're not going to, if all your experience with the Olympic lift, snatch, clean and jerk is just in high intense Metcons, then you might not ever get to where you want to be with those. You might not really get them down. And so the point was like, go focus on them a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I think you having focused on them enough, it's like you're fine with them now.
Yeah. But yeah, I've been doing some CrossFit and losing some weight, and I feel really good. I feel healthy. I feel just as strong. And
yeah, you've lost a lot. Tell them about it. And you've kind of dove into really taking your nutrition.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I mean, I didn't ever consider myself like eating poorly, but I definitely wasn't watching myself as strictly as I probably could. And I always made weight. Like, I never had a problem making weight. So, like, I competed at 85, and, you know, maybe I was a little bit flubby for an 85, but, I mean, I was also fucking strong, you know? Like, I was squatting over 400. I was almost pushing 200 kilos on the back squat and 400 pounds on the front squat. And, you know, I was snatching above 250 and clean and jerking above
but at what price?
That's true. So, you know, I think being balanced, and I learned a lot about this, you know, recently, and even from hearing from Travis Mash, who was my coach at the time, and just being balanced is important. Like, it's important for longevity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you don't feel good, you can't train well.
Right.
And if you're walking around all the time feeling bloated and joints hurt because you're just not watching what you eat and not taking care of your movement quality, you may be a little stronger, but, man, you are not having fun.
Yeah.
You are miserable.
Yeah, my energy levels are a lot better.
To be said.
For sure. My nutrition is a lot better, so my energy levels are a lot better. Mm-hmm. My cardiovascular endurance is a lot better, so I don't fatigue as much during, like, tough training sessions, which makes me get more quality reps in as practice. So, yeah, I think it's a good thing to be balanced.
Yeah, I just think it's cool that since this fucking show, so only about 6 months has gone by, and you've already tackled two big things.
The
Open and getting abs. What the fuck? You're on a roll.
Yeah. Well, it's funny in that. I don't remember I said that, but the two goals I had were, well, one of the goals was to get better conditioning, which is what I've been doing. So,
nice.
Yeah.
You have any? I know McGee's over here on his phone. He took some notes when we were watching it. You got anything else?
Yeah. Sorry, real quick, it turned sideways. The biggest message that I took from this show was, you know, you usually see a story like this about someone who is like, you know, a prodigy or Olympic caliber, or, you know, it follows their journey a little bit. What I like about this and how it's so relatable to the majority of us is that you can change if you want to. Yeah. And this literally followed this person, Alex's step-by-step process through that. You know, it talked about where he was before he even found fitness, and then how he transitioned out of that and had enough of treating his body like a dumpster and then chose a goal, you know, not even being good at the sport. He didn't choose the goal after he found out he was pretty good. He chose the goal before he was any good.
Yeah.
And so he took a chance there. Which is very important, you know. Like, you often see people that you see, like, Rich Froning or something, or somebody who's really good at what they do, and you're like, which came first, the confidence before or after their success? Like were they confident before they knew they were that good? Or were they confident after? Yeah. And in Alex's case, I would say, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it seems like maybe you built that confidence, you earned it along the way because you didn't know you were good at first, and you developed that as you went on, and that's a really powerful thing, and that's something that sticks with you throughout your whole life. So, yeah, again, like the biggest thing I see from this show is just showing what realistic change looks like.
Yeah, I think it's cool to watch. You could say, okay, I could do that.
Exactly.
Yeah, not that you could, wouldn't very watch.
Very approachable.
Yeah, the other things are very inspiring too, not to take away anything from elite athletes.
For sure,
They're definitely putting in the work, but yep. I think this is unique, and like you said, for the mass audience, because you can quite – I don't know. Mm-hmm. It just feels like, holy shit, he did it. I could totally do it. Like, fuck.
Yeah, that's the big takeaway. I mean, I
it's going to take work.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the big thing. And I don't think hard-ass work. I don't think we caught it on the show, but I think Chris asked that question. And like that's the one thing I want people to understand is that, you know, you can, whatever you want to do, you can fucking do it.
I think the show starts that way.
Yeah.
I think it was, at the beginning.
Yeah, because. I mean, and that's what I said. Like, it may not happen. It may not ever happen. It may not ever happen. And sometimes you have to be okay with that.
Yeah, you gotta know what you're made of.
But that doesn't mean that you can't try to make it happen and put all your work into it. And at least if you don't get there, I guarantee you're gonna learn a lot of shit about yourself along the way. That is going to help you so many things.
Case in point, Chris Moore.
Yeah.
I mean, this dude had goals on goals on goals and dreams on dreams on dreams, and he didn't get there. But look how much by him trying day after day. Like
trying is what's fun, you know.
Look at all we have now because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I'm sure, he did have a lot of things. What were some of the things did he share with you about kind of what he wanted to do?
Yeah, and I wish we had Charlotte sitting right here now because, you know, them two were teaming up to basically go on and do kind of like these shows right here, Full Depth, where it's you know, really getting in and and doing the story, really making it less about us or them or anybody and really pulling out people's short stories and finding unique stories and sharing them. So kind of like taking the ball from here and then continuing it. Mm-hmm. And I know I think it's going to be posted later this week. I think it was the day before Chris passed. He had did an interview with the Girls Gone Wad podcast, and they had sent that to me, and I listened to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really good, man. And he tells all that stuff in there, and it's trippy to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But very cool to hear at the same time just how excited he was about it. So, that's all in there, so go check that out. That'll be posted later this week, I believe.
Yeah, I did mention it earlier too, but if anyone wants to still contribute, there's a link you can follow. It's gofundme.com/MooreIronHeart, MOORE, as in his last name. You can contribute to, you know, fulfilling Chris's dreams with their company Iron Heart, as well as supporting the family.
Yeah.
Again, the support's been pretty amazing so far. So if anyone else wants to continue to help out,
yeah, we're gonna have a service for him here on Sunday, and I know me and James are looking into how we can maybe present it live. So if it's not up, then sorry, we couldn't figure it out. But there's a chance that maybe this Sunday that you guys get to kind of watch in, and I know he would have thought that was cool.
yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys want to add?
I don't know.
What's the formal breakdown?
Yeah.
Make sure you head over to...
Well, what's your next goal?
I definitely want to go to the American Open this year as a 77 kilo. I'm actually doing my first CrossFit competition later on this year, too.
This motherfucker.
You want me to come coach you?
I almost said something yesterday. I was like, all right, I'm going to go to regionals. I set big audacious goals, man.
Well, you already said it.
You know, I was like, I'm like, you know what? If I'm gonna fucking set a goal, it's gonna be a big one, and that's why.
Make regionals, Mike.
How much time do you have?
I got all the time.
4 years. Next year? No. 4 years. We'll see.
Not as an individual, but as a team, maybe.
You got to stop weightlifting.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I remember you were watching me do that 16-2, and you're like, you got to stop doing those cleans like a weightlifter.
Yeah, you're setting up, pulling it as fast as you can. I was like, slow down.
Slow down.
Breathe. It's not weightlifting.
Yeah, yeah. But, this was really cool. Like, I'm really happy with how this episode, like, turned out.
Oh, that's what I was – sorry, I was going to say one more fucking thing. Like, when we watch – it feels like a real fucking show, man. Like, yep. Mad props
Music.
To Charlotte.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mad props to Chris. I mean, they put their fucking hearts into
Beautiful
it.
Beautiful work. Yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to just see that. And
if you listeners enjoyed it, share how much you enjoyed it with Charlotte. Tell the audience, share it online. Let people know what you think and what you got from it as well. Don't let that go unheard.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think it's part of this episode too, I think, is a lot of it's a lot about my story, but it's also like Chris definitely gave a lot of commentary on mm-hmm. you know, going after your goals and, you know, working hard and having a dream. And And I think he really this episode more than anything, I haven't seen the other ones, but just knowing Chris, like, it probably resonated with him very powerfully.
Yeah. Oh, he loves this episode. He loved that trip. We had a fucking great time.
Yeah.
And as far as Full Depth's concerned, we got two more left, or three maybe, because we might put one into two parts. But the next one that I think you'll see is going to be one where we came back here to Memphis, mm-hmm. and we kind of got a vibe on the Memphis scene, and kind of, you know, this is where we started.
Oh, is this the Brian Schilling? And
yeah, we did Brian Leslie Schilling.
Cool.
But it's about Memphis and food. So mm-hmm. we kind of tie those two together. They do a great job of that, Charlotte and Chris did. And so that'll be the next one. And then the final one is about Coach Bergner. It's been the one we were most excited about. It was the first one I think we filmed. And we spent 3 days with Bergner, and it's going to be fucking great. We're super excited about it. But
I can't wait to see that
unfortunately,
one.
Unfortunately, Chris did not get to record his overdubs, his voiceovers, mm-hmm. which, man, that dude was born for voiceover.
Oh, yeah.
Man, he fucking, but we'll figure that out. I'm going to try to talk Charlotte into doing it. Nonetheless, the show will go on, and we'll fucking, Chris was so proud of that Bergner episode. That might be a two-parter, so it will definitely come out. So that's what we got up on for Full Depth. And then also, if you haven't seen the two NASA episodes, go watch those. Super good.
Yeah. Very cool.
All righty.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much for
listening.
Thanks,
guys.